ask for your prayers. I want to call your attention to a scripture reading today. If you'd like to turn in your Bibles and read along with me, found in 1 John chapter 4, beginning with verse 7. 1 John chapter 4, beginning with verse 7 for a scripture reading. And it says, "Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God, and everyone that loveth is born of God and knoweth God. He that loveth not knoweth not God, for God is love. In this was manifested the love of God toward us, because that God sent his only begotten Son into the world, that we might live through him. Herein is love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us, and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. Beloved, if God so loved us, we ought also to love one another. No man hath seen God at any time. If we love one another, God dwelleth in us, and his love is perfected in us. Hereby know we that we dwell in him, and he in us, because he hath given us of his Spirit." And I want to stop reading there with verse 13. And I want to call your attention today for the thought that I want to try to bring before you this morning. I want you to think about what John said here in these verses that I have read, what he said that we find recorded in the 12th verse. He said that no man hath seen God at any time. And I want to speak to you today. I want to try to use this title, An Unseen Presence. And this week, in one of the services during the tent revival, there that evening, the Lord gave me this thought. And he caused me to think about how that there has been such an unseen driving force in my life. And I want to also speak about the fact that the Bible teaches us, and I believe that we know that that there was a certain way that John meant this when he said, "No man hath seen God at any time." There is a truthful way for this to be applied, because the Bible also tells us of God being seen. And I want to try to, today, by the help of God, to try to explain what that means. And so I want you to pray for me. Now, the reason I want us to think about this to begin with, why would John have made the statement that no man hath seen God? Why would he have said that no man hath seen God at any time? And why would it be that a person could not see God? And you know, I was thinking today that if I were to hold up an object before you today, if I were to hold up, I don't see a songbook here, but if I were to hold up my Bible before you in my hand today and were to ask you, how do you know that this Bible is in my hand? How do you know that I have a Bible in my hand here before you? I believe that certainly the logical answer from any of us, from any of you, would be, "Well, preacher, I can see it. I can see it." And, you know, we live in that type of realm here on the earth. We live in a place that is filled with material, tangible objects, things that you and I are able to see with our eyes, and we know the reality of their existence because of that, because that we are able to see them. Now, what John said here is that no man has seen God at any time, and with the natural eye, that's true. Because Jesus told us, and we find this recorded in the fourth chapter of the Gospel of John, where we have record of the Lord's dealing with the Samaritan woman at the well. Jesus said, God is a spirit. He is a spirit. And, you know, Jesus once made the statement when after his resurrection and he appeared to his disciples and they thought they had seen a, they didn't think it was him, they just thought they had seen a spirit. Jesus told them and assured them that that wasn't true. He said, a spirit doesn't have flesh and bone. You know, a spirit doesn't have something that we can see. And God is a spirit. Now, the Bible also gives us a reason why that we don't see God, why John would be able to make such a statement as he did. But I want to say this today, and I realize that there are many people in the world today that just choose not to believe this, or perhaps the reason that they choose not to believe this is because in their minds they don't have the capability of grasping such a concept. But I want you to know that the world that you and I live in, where there are things that we know truly exist because of our ability to see them, that there is a spiritual realm, and that which exists in that spiritual realm is just as real as what exists here that you and I are able to see. There really is a God. There really are angels. And these things do truly exist. We have a spirit. We ourselves. You know, the statement that we find there in 1 Samuel, where it tells us that man looks on the outward appearance, but God looks on the heart. And we have an outward appearance, and with the natural eye, the outward man is the only thing about each other that you and I can actually see. We have a spirit within us that we are not able to see, but it's just as real. The inward man is just as real in his existence as the outward man. There are many today that believe that, you know, the old saying, and oftentimes when you tell someone something that's too difficult for them to grasp, people often say, well, show me, let me see it, and I will believe it. And I'm sure that you've heard the old cliche, seeing is believing. Well, you know, properly applied, that's true, but not seeing and also believing is very blessed indeed. And we venture into what we call faith. And I will perhaps talk about that a little bit later. I guess my favorite story concerning this is what I read about a 12-year-old student at school. And it was about her teacher trying to convince her that things that can be seen is all that's real, and trying to convince the student that God is not real because she had never seen him. And so the teacher asked this student to look outside of the window at school and said, "Do you see the tree there?" And she said, "Yes, I can see the tree." And she said, "Well, that's because it's real." And asked her about a couple of other objects, and she said, "Yes, I can see them." And the teacher said, "Well, that's because they're real, but can you see God?" And she said, "No." And he said, she said, "Well, that's because he's not real." And so I love the student's response. She asked her teacher, she said, "Can you see your brain?" And the teacher said, "No." And she said, "Well, then I guess you don't have one." There are things, there are even physical things, I suppose, within us that we can't see. I mean, I've never seen my physical heart, but it's in there working and it's in there beating. I can feel it. And so there are things that exist around us that we can't see with the naked eye. We can't see with our natural eye, but I love what John said here when he said, "No man has seen God at any time." He said that God has made himself known to us by his Spirit. He said, "Hereby know we that we dwell in him and he in us, because he hath given us of his Spirit." And the night that I'm talking about, there in the tent revival, I was there. We were having such a wonderful service, and there was such a wonderful presence of the Lord, and it was obvious that God was with us, that he was moving among us. And I had this thought of how that, you know, it is so amazing how driven that we are, and how motivated that we are, and how blessed that we are by someone that we have never seen. But yet, he's very, very real, isn't he? The reason that we can't see God, another reason that we don't see him visibly with our eyes, physically with our natural eyes, is because the Bible speaks of him as the invisible God. The invisible God. I want to share some scripture with you from the first chapter of Colossians in verse 15 and 16. And this was something that the Apostle Paul wrote concerning Jesus. He was speaking about Jesus when he said this. He said, "Who is the image of the invisible God? The image of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creature." He said, "For by him were all things created that are in heaven and in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers. All things were created by him and for him." Now, what was he talking about? What was Paul telling the Colossians when he said that Jesus is the image of the invisible God? Well, if you look in the second chapter of Colossians, I believe verse 9, we are told there that in him, that is in Jesus, dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. And what that word means is in bodily form. In Jesus Christ dwelt all the fullness of the Godhead in a bodily form. And so it is in that respect that Paul said that he is the image of the invisible God. Now, we can read in the 14th chapter of the Gospel according to John that Jesus one time was speaking to his disciples, and he was telling them about God the Father. And he made this statement. This is found in John chapter 14, beginning with verse 7. Jesus said to his disciples, "If you had known me, ye should have known my Father, and from henceforth ye know him." Now listen, we find John in 1 John. We have record of him saying that no man has seen God at any time, but here we have Jesus telling his disciples that they had seen him. He said, "If you had known me, you should have known my Father also. From henceforth, ye know him and have seen him." He's telling them, you have seen him. Well, Philip didn't understand. He didn't understand what Jesus was saying, and he said unto him, "Lord, show us the Father, and it sufficeth us." Show us the Father, and it will be sufficient for us to believe and to understand what you're saying. And the Lord, Jesus said, "Have I been so long time with you, and yet thou hast not known me, Philip?" And he said, "He that hath seen me hath seen the Father. And how sayest then thou, show us the Father?" And so Jesus was God. There's no doubt as to what he was saying. There's no doubt as to what the Bible is teaching us about the incarnate Christ, that he was Jehovah God, that he was God in the flesh, that he was God walking among us. Emmanuel, what does it mean? God with us. And so Jesus made the statement. He said, "I and my Father are one." Now, in the Gospel of John, in the first chapter, John was talking there and writing about the Word, the Logos, the living Word. And he said that in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. And in the 14th verse of John chapter 1, John said, "And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. And we beheld his glory, the glory of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth." Now, John said in that first chapter of John there, he said that Jesus was there in the beginning. In the beginning. The Word, in the beginning was the Word. And it was with God, and it was God. And God was made flesh. We serve a God that has come down to this world and took upon himself the form of men and walked among us. Walked among us. But you know, if you think of the history of the time that man has been on the earth, and the number of people that have lived on the earth during the time of man's existence, then you realize that there was really just a very few people compared to the number of people that have or will occupy the earth before the world is gone. And just a very small window of time, very few people in comparison, in a very small window of time witnessed that. Very, very small number of people witnessed what John was talking about when he said, we saw him. He was here. He was in the flesh. He was among us. And we saw him. And we beheld his glory. And we beheld that it was the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. We saw that. We saw Jesus. We saw God walking here in the flesh. John was able, when he penned the words of his gospel, he was able to write such a thing as that, that there were some of us that saw him, but not many. There were even people, from what I understand in the statement that the Apostle Peter made, which I hope to share with you here in a moment, there were people that were living on the earth at the time that Jesus was here that never saw him. Some did. But yet, you and I, we haven't, have we? But you know, listen, this is amazing to me. I stand in awe of God. It's amazing to me what he has been able to do. Because I'm convinced that Jesus has made himself as real to you and I. Those of us here today that know him in a pardon and forgiveness of sin, the Lord, through the witness of his Spirit within us, has made Christ just as much a reality to you and I today as he was to those that looked upon him in his physical form. John and the apostles didn't know the reality of Jesus any more than you and I do today. Amen. Isn't that something? I'll tell you what, there have been times, and I know that many of you here today can testify to the same thing. There have been times when I knew beyond any doubt that the Lord was right there with me. There have been times when I've been driving my car down the road and the Lord would show up and take a ride with me. No doubt. I mean, he made himself so present and made me to understand with no doubt that he was with me. There have been many situations in my life that the Lord would manifest himself in such a way that there's just no doubt that he's there. We feel the visit from times when we assemble here in God's house. We feel the visit of an invisible force, don't we? And the Lord makes us to know that he's present, that he is right here with us. The Bible speaks about this invisible God, this God that John tells us that no man has seen at any time, no man with the natural eye has looked upon at any time, yet the Bible speaks to us about him being able to be seen. I want you to think about something that we find in the 11th chapter of Hebrews in the 27th verse, and it's talking about God's servant Moses, and it's talking about how that by faith in God that he left Egypt, and he went out there into the desert. And in Hebrews 11:27 it says, by faith he forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king, for he endured. He endured. And this is this is kind of a statement, I suppose, that would baffle the minds of those that try to figure out everything up here. But the Bible tells us that Moses endured this as seeing him who is invisible. How in the world could he do that? How in the world could Moses have possibly seen an invisible God? But the Bible tells us that he did, and it caused him to endure. Listen, folks, I'm afraid that you and I, if we couldn't see him today, if the Lord didn't manifest himself to us today, we'd never make it through this, would we? We would never be able to endure. Moses would not have been able to endure without that. But he was able to endure because he was able to see him that is invisible. How? Through faith. What is faith? The Bible tells us in that same chapter, in the 11th chapter of Hebrews, in the first verse, it says that faith is the substance, which means the assurance. Faith is the assurance of things hoped for, and the evidence, or the proving, if you will, of things not seen. What does faith do? It proves to you and I the existence of the reality of things that otherwise cannot be seen. I'm telling you that it's only through faith that people see him. You know, somebody mentioned this morning, I believe it was Sister Kay, during Sunday school, mentioned someone being an atheist. You know what an atheist is? An atheist is a person that has chosen not to believe in God because they don't have any reason not to believe in him. They have chosen not to believe in him. The Apostle Paul, in writing to the Romans, in Romans chapter 1, he said, the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen. What? Invisible things being clearly seen? That's what Paul said. The invisible things of the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things which are made. And you know what that does? That leaves man without excuse. No wonder that the Bible tells us that it takes a fool to believe there is no God. Because there's so much evidence. There's so much evidence. There's so much that God has placed all around us that we can see, that gives evidence of that which is invisible. God and His Spirit are the guiding force of my life. I'm following. I thought about how amazing it was this week for someone that we've not seen with our natural eye. I'm looking forward to seeing him. But someone that we've seen, not seen with our natural eye, can cause us to assemble together in a tent and to sit there somewhat in the elements and to be out there worshiping and holding these services and rejoicing with all of our hearts in somebody that we don't see. I want to share this scripture with you. It's found in the first chapter of 1 Peter. He spoke about that. 1 Peter chapter 1 in verse 8. He said, he was talking about Jesus Christ, and he said, whom having not seen, ye love, whom having not seen ye love, in whom, though now ye see him not, yet believing ye rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory. Let me read that again. Whom having not seen ye love, in whom, though now ye see him not, yet believing ye rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory. You know, when Jesus had resurrected, some of the disciples had seen him, and they told Thomas that they had seen him. Thomas just said, you know what? Until I get some physical confirmation of this, I'm not going to believe. Until I can see the prints in the nails of his hands, until I can put my finger in the prints, until I can thrust my hand into his side, into that wound that they put there, I am not going to believe. Boy, there's a lot of people like that in the world today. I'm not going to believe in anything that I can't see. And, you know, Jesus showed up and he gave Thomas that opportunity to do exactly what he had said he would have to do in order to believe. He came and he allowed Thomas to touch him just the way he said that he would have to. The Lord let him do that. And then Thomas was, convinced, and he called him his God. And he was convinced by what he had seen. And the Lord told him that, Thomas, you've believed because you've seen. But you know what he said? He said, blessed are they which have believed and have not yet seen. There's some events. You know, I've not seen heaven, but I'm telling you, I know it's real. I know it's real. And there are things yet that we've not seen, and I know they're hard for the carnal mind of man to embrace. The coming of the Lord. I'm telling you, he's coming. He's coming. There are things that happen in my life every day. There are things that happen in your life every day that are done under the direction of an unseen hand, an unseen force that moves among us, that's real. My God is real. Real. In my soul, real in my life, real in my worship. He walks with me, he talks with me, and he tells me that I'm his own. Isn't that wonderful to feel a presence that to us is invisible, but he can be seen? He can be seen. He has been seen through the eye of faith. And we endure yet today. Paul said, I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. We endure yet today as seeing him who is invisible. Turn your eyes upon Jesus, and the things of this world will grow strangely dim when you do. When you turn your eyes upon the Lord Jesus Christ. I am thankful to God for that in my life, that though I can't see him like I do you and I, that I know he's there. And I know that he's real. And he knows our voice. You know, Jesus, I'll tell you what, for his children, when we get to talking to him, he knows your voice. Jesus, he knows us. He knows us when we call on him, and we know his voice. He said, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. And I have asked Brother Strode, if he would, to share a song with us. And I hope that you will really listen and pay close attention to the words of this song. And just think about what is being said here about the unseen hand of God. And think about that in your life. You know, when I was lost, when I was a boy and I was lost, there was somebody dealing with my heart that I couldn't see. I couldn't see, but I knew he was there, and I knew that he was real. And he's been real in my life since the time that he saved me. The unseen hand. Listen to the beautiful lyrics that are in this song. We don't have this in our books, and so they're going to sing this for us today.
Sing the story, save my grace, and then